guys, welcome to Teachers Off Duty. For those of you that might not have tuned in with us before, my name is Rebecca Rogers. I'm R Rogers World on social media.
I'm
I did.
And it's my real name. I'm not even making it up every time.
We're gonna have James hold up a cue card for you.
I know.
You like are
an SNL,
Tell.
An SNL with a poster. I'm Tell Williams, Mr. Williams Pre-K on all social media.
I am Bree, aka Honest Teacher Vibes.
I told you she
don't say it.
Don't. We keep making. Well, I don't. Becca keeps making fun of Bree because she's saying her name.
Lauren.
You're the ringleader, though.
Why was I the ringleader?
You started.
Why you looking so guilty, though?
So hit dog will holler.
I feel offended.
I hate when people say stuff like that. I'm like, what? That ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
A hit dog will holler. I'm writing that one down.
Have you never heard that?
We now have a book of sayings.
Apparently I come up with a lot of random stuff.
She does.
Go ahead, Lauren.
She does.
What's your name?
My name is Lauren.
She said her name, Ruth.
I said
don't
her name.
Don't bring our conversation. We don't need you to bring the conversation back. Well, she said her name. No. And they know her name. We're all sleepy. I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. I'm Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley and Fifth on social media.
So a lot of our conversation, not just this month, but just in general, always centers around teacher struggles, especially during the pandemic, how, you know, people who don't go through it just don't get it. But something else that we really wanted to shed light on is being a student right now. Mm-hmm. You know, people who were not students during the pandemic don't know what it's like to be a student during the pandemic.
Right.
And Bree actually asked the kids on social media, you know, why are you guys so apathetic? Like, what is going on? Can we have a little bit of insight into what you all are feeling? And we wanted to share that with you guys and shed some light on what the kids are going through right
now. Yeah, so this came from 2 days in a row at school. I had, you know, just teaching my heart out like I do, okay? Sometimes y'all do independent reading for 30 minutes and don't talk to me. Unless admin walks in. And then, okay, guys, back to what we were talking about, working with your groups and your shoulder partners. They know we'd be
shoulder.
They know the drill.
They know we'd be BSing when they come in and we were sitting down and we hop up and pretend
See, the thing is that you got to train them so that, you know, when you do that, they're like, I thought the character was very well developed throughout the beginning to the end of the story. Like, some general answer.
Yeah, there's some really good snacks in this for y'all. If you're But so 2 days in a row, like, I just had, you know, kids late to class, kids absent, kids sleeping in class, kids just not paying attention, kids just, like, won't do the assignment. And I tell my kids, like, all you have to do is try. Like, no, I still stand by this. No teacher will fail a kid that's trying. Even if you have no idea what's going on, the fact that you're willing to try means you're going to grow, even if it's just a little bit. So I had already had that conversation with my students, and I just had gotten to a point where I was like, dang, they really do not care. And so my students know, like, we're going to have real talk all the time. So, like, I'll just straight up start talking to them like I'm their auntie. Like, why are y'all, like, why do y'all not care? Right? And so that particular class, like, they left. And that afternoon after school, I was like, man, let me just make a TikTok and ask the kids, like, hey, why do y'all not, like, why are y'all so apathetic? If you don't know what apathetic means, it means, like, you just really don't care.
English teacher.
Context clues. This is a descriptive context clue. You know, there's different context clues, inferencing, descriptive, explanation, antonym, synonym, ideas, acronym, if you need to teach context clues.
My eyes have glazed over.
Okay. Either way, it's neither here nor there. So anyway, after school, I was like, okay, like, let me make this TikTok and just ask the kids because, you know, I feel like I'm online. I feel like I'm their TikTok teacher. So I was like, look at that. Y'all don't know what figurative language that is?
What?
TikTok teacher.
Alliteration.
Oh, my alliteration. I was so invested in what you were saying.
All y'all were about to be fired.
No, I was invested.
I forgot what it was for a second because I'm sleepy. But it's like, is it oxymoron? So I made that TikTok, and the amount of kids that respond, I was surprised at how many, like, student responses I got. So normally, like, we don't read things off our phones, but I want y'all to know exactly what the kids said. So I'm going to read one. We're going to discuss it. But most of them have a common theme to them. Like, if you know, listen, I'm not going to read all of them. We'll read, like, 5 or 6 of them. But most of the responses of the kids, you know, they had a common theme. And anybody, like, adults tried to comment and were like, this is what I think. I ain't asked you, fam. I asked the kids. If you're not a kid, somebody that just graduated was like, well, I think I'm not talking to you. talking to you. You graduated two. Feeling. If you graduated two or more years ago, I'm not talking
it's
to you.
It's the same energy of like, we don't want to hear from people who haven't taught in a pandemic.
Right.
Like, I don't want to hear from adults about the kids.
So I looked at a lot of the kids' responses, and then I ended up, you know, like I took their responses and put them on Instagram. But it was just like really interesting to like peer into, you know, their hearts and what they said. Mm-hmm. And so these are some of the responses. So if you want to see the responses, they're on my Instagram stories, Honest Teacher Vibes. There's a highlight bubble that says apathy on the highlight bubble. So this kid said, so I asked him, like, hey, why are y'all apathetic? Like, why does it seem like y'all just don't care about school? Like, y'all won't try? Like, it just seems like y'all are like, nah, like, I don't really care. And so, well, this kid said, honestly, I'm 15 and I've never looked at it from your point of view. And I'm sorry, I promise to try to do better. Have a nice day, ma'am.
I was like, that makes me want to cry.
If that one made you want to cry, just wait. But like, it was cool to hear him say, like, dang, like, I've never, as a kid, like, I never really looked at it from, you know, y'all's perspective.
But like, developmentally, why? That's not a word. Developmentally, thank you. I was like, it's not developmentally wise. But anyways, developmentally, you know, there's kind of a point where kids really do have difficulties looking at things from other people's perspective.
Right, so, that's true.
Be him being able to like put himself in other people's shoes like that is great for a 15 year old be able
but
to
even
do.
When we were kids though, I mean, I don't care about what, you know what I'm saying, like when I was mean, in yeah. middle school and
but
when
that's
I was
what
in,
saying that's
yeah when I was in elementary
and
high school,
like my teachers were out to get me, like I genuinely
really
some, I mean, not all of them, but like when they would get upset that we weren't answering questions or that we were the students were fatigued and they were like, why aren't you responding to me? I'm like, chill, it's fine. And then as a teacher, you're like, I'm feel like I'm doing a stand-up routine and no one's laughing and the kids are giving nothing back and never considered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was in that position where I was just too tired to respond.
Right.
And as a teacher, when you're doing it, you're like, why am I not doing a good job?
Right. And it's kind of like we're so far removed from school.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I hate to use this like example, but it's kind of like when an admin leaves the classroom, when an admin or a teacher becomes an admin, they forget what it's like. Even when they're only a year out, they forget what it was like to be a teacher. And now that they're an admin, and it's like, I still need, like, you, it's hard for them to relate to where we're coming from because they've been out of the classroom for so long. So for our kids, sometimes it's hard for us to put ourselves in their shoes because we've been out of school for so long.
And even some of the things that like kids have to do in school now are so much more demanding than what we had to do.
Sure.
Like, you know, I know standards have changed over time, but it's a lot.
Yes.
It's a lot. And then, you know, we know where our students come from. And a lot of them don't have great home lives or they have to work jobs to help their family. It's a lot to deal with.
And it's nothing against teachers at all. Like, some people who are now teachers just were fortunate enough to not have the same kinds of at-home lives that a lot of our students do.
Right.
So, like, for me, and I know I was super fortunate with my family and things like that, but I still took all the AP classes. I did the sports. I did worked in a restaurant since I was 16.
Right.
And even I, like, I don't know how to relate to some of the things that some of my students are dealing with at home. So a teacher who didn't have to work when they were a kid or didn't do sports or didn't do AP classes, like, they don't know.
Right. And, I mean, I want to bring – definitely want to bring light to what the kids are dealing with. But on the other side of that, you know, there is a lot of stuff that they don't have to deal with because expectations for them are so low sometimes.
Right.
So it's not a, you know, we don't have to go from one extreme to another, but there's both sides to that. You know, it's a double-sided coin.
There's a difference between, like, making excuses of, like, they have all of this, so they should get a pass, and then also just keeping in mind this is what I'm getting from them and keeping in mind that this is why they might be acting this way. And they still, depending on what they're doing, they might get a consequence, whether it be a lower grade because they're not doing assignments or whatever, but it's at least understanding it's not to spite a teacher most of the time, but you know, just keeping it in mind.
Yeah. So this kid said, sometimes school is just so draining. Some teachers' work is very excessive and we stop trying because it's way too overwhelming.
I think that says something about, like, what I was saying, the amount of pressure, and, you know, it trickles down. The amount of pressure that states put on teachers, and then teachers, and then in turn put on the students.
Right,
and it's like,
because teachers,
you know,
are
somewhere it's gotta give.
Right.
They're assigning work to, and homework to, for a test or a standard or whatever, without the realization that other teachers in similar mm-hmm. subjects are doing They're the same also, thing.
So I remember saying that when I was in school. Yeah. I was like, do these teachers realize I got 7 classes?
And in college,
and all
have
of them
four.
Have right, and all right. of them have a test on Thursday and yeah. homework every night, and like, and now that like I'm a teacher, you know, even though I teach elementary school, like I rarely give homework.
Yeah, yeah, well, we
because,
don't give homework.
Yeah, like. I might give 1 page of math homework every now and then, yeah. but like that's even rare.
Yeah. See, I remember when the pandemic started, I remember being in my PLT and one of the teachers was just so stressed out because she's like, I have all this to grade and was giving like a big assignment every single day in online learning. Whereas I was doing an assignment or two each week that like, you know, they could do in turn.
And that's your own fault. Like, why are you assigning these?
And then you're going to sit there and be like, I'm so tired. I have all of these assignments
right,
to grade.
And I'm like, then why are you giving all of those?
Teachers, don't be great now, that stuff.
Not everything needs to be great. That is called a formative assessment.
When we were just going virtual and people were just figuring out how to do online, why are you giving something every day? Like, do a group assignment that you do together in class right. and then give them the afternoon off. Like, you're practicing yeah. with them. There's so many right. other ways that you can make sure
well,
they're
we don't, practicing. We don't even give, one, we don't even give homework, which... You know, there's, you know, people going to be arguing in the comments over homework.
I know.
But y'all do y'all because, you know, y'all argue about everything. But we don't give homework, one, because the demographic of our kids ain't got nobody at home to help right. them with that homework. Yeah. Mm-hmm, number same. Two, we can't fail kids because they didn't turn in homework. Right. So I'm like, I'm literally, if we need to practice something, we going to do it at school. I'm not giving you homework for you to lose on the bus or losing your book bag. Then I got another problem added onto all the stuff that I'm right. already dealing with. So in my class, so from what this student is saying about the work being excessive, hear me when I say, like, we hear where y'all coming from. At the same time, it might seem excessive, but we're not, like, I just know, I'm just speaking for my class. Like, my kids think my work is excessive. Mm-hmm. But I know that I just know that it's not.
No, me too.
Because I'm not, like, I know what excessive work is. And this is not excessive work. It's excessive sometimes because y'all lazy. That's why it's excessive. Now, I'm not like, I know we talking about kids, but we on real talk as well. Mm-hmm. And the teachers that's watching this, we understand that sometimes the kids think the work is excessive because they're not used to having to put in that kind of effort to complete an assignment. They don't have the mental
determination.
Yeah, they don't have the mental stamina to keep working on an assignment, right? So my kids know when they come in, bell work. You got like five minutes. If it's a longer bell work, 10 minutes. You got kids at the end of the 10 minutes, ain't got not a single thing written down. There's literally no excuse to not try.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. and so my kids like bell work, and then I do a mini lesson. I don't want to pay attention for more than 15 minutes. I ain't going to make you pay attention for more than 15 minutes. Because I get, if we got a staff meeting and somebody standing up there talking for 30 minutes, bro, I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to teach you for longer than 15 minutes because I know you a kid. Your attention span because of TikTok and social media is super low. Mm-hmm. Right. So as engaging as I can be, then we practicing whatever skill I'm teaching you together, and then you have to do an independent assignment. How is that excessive?
Yeah.
You ain't even got no homework.
I literally just had this past week had a talk with one of my students because I noticed, like, since Christmas break, since we came back, he has just been, like, you know, drifting through life, mm-hmm. like, coming to school, chilling, not answering questions, just kind of being, like, a bump on a log.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, I pulled him aside. And I was, like, I was starting to get frustrated. And then I had to take a step back and be, like, okay, just talk to the kid, see what's going on. So I pulled him aside and I was like, dude, what is going on with you? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, your ability is up here and your effort is down here.
Right.
I'm like, I'm gonna need those to match. Right. Like, this is where you could be working. And I know you're smart enough. Like, you can totally do everything that we're doing in class, but you're just sitting and waiting for everyone to give you the answers.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like sometimes that come to Jesus talk that, you know, some kids
need. And
it's
okay. I think a lot of teachers need to realize our kids don't want to see us as these like prim and proper people.
No.
Just have some real talk and just talk directly to them. So my thing is, I'm the type of person that if I'm going to complain, let's do some solution-based complaining, right? So if we're going to complain, let's find a solution to that complaining because perception is reality. Mm-hmm. So for this kid, his perception is that the schoolwork is excessive and it's overwhelming. So when we say what we say, we're not trying to discount his perspective. perspective that the work is excessive and it's overwhelming. But how can we connect with you and how can we communicate with you to help you not feel like the work is excessive, but to also help you not feel overwhelmed? Because it's a disconnect, because one, we're coming from two different perspectives, but as teachers, we can talk to y'all, but y'all got to talk back to us. Not talk back and be disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? Like, in having a
communicate.
Conversation. But sometimes we ask y'all questions and y'all like,
See, I talked to my kids a little bit about that point last year, and we had a really good conversation, and we came up with kind of two, I don't want to say problems, I guess different perspectives. So on one hand, I think there are a lot of teachers out there that genuinely believe that if they're not giving their kids something new, like a new assignment to do every single day, that they're not doing enough. Right. And that really translates into busy work. It's not something that they always need. Yeah. And a lot of teachers, like, they're not doing it on purpose. They genuinely feel like they're not giving them something.
I can say I'm guilty of that. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm like, okay, if I have them spend 2 days on an assignment, I'm wasting time. I'm like, I could be packing in something. And I'm like, girl, take a chill pill.
Right.
Like,
I can't do the busy work.
And the reality of the matter is, I don't think it's busy work if it's something they're working on to practice a skill, because the reality of the matter is we have to cover so many classes, we're still expected to lesson plan. So if I give you an assignment to work on for you to get some independent practice and I got to type this lesson plan in, it's a give and take. That's what we have to do sometimes. But giving them busy work to do every single day, you're a trash teacher.
Well,
that's what
came to another point that I
said. If you give your kids busy work every single day and you do not stand up and teach them, you're a trash teacher. I don't care who get mad about that. If you mad, put on a cape so you can be super mad. I had a teacher in high school who was my geometry teacher. Do y'all know I always struggled in math. Like, algebra was like super hard for me, but my teacher came in and taught every single day so that at least when I saw algebra, I had a familiarity with it, even if I didn't understand how to do it. Mm-hmm. My geometry teacher, when I got to college, I could not figure out geometry at all, like, or statistics and all that kind of stuff, because my geometry teacher, in high school, I remember him to this day, looked like Yogi Bear. That dude literally sat at his desk every single day, passed out worksheets, didn't teach us how to do a single thing. And now as an adult, I don't even use geometry, but now as an adult, because I didn't even have a little bit of foundational information, I can't figure out how to do that.
How are kids expected to just know how to do something themselves? Like, I mean, that's pretty much how, like, my master's degree program went. Like, it was, like, all online. Mm-hmm. You teach yourself, and then you turn in a final project. And, like, kids can't learn that way.
No. And we didn't learn that way.
No.
Like, that geometry class is an extreme example. Mm-hmm. But every other class I had, my teachers were standing up teaching. This generation of teachers, because we have so many teachers that did an alternate route program, and hear me when I say I'm not bashing y'all, I'm just merely stating what has been observed. We have so many teachers that did an alternate route program. The education system is so jacked up that we haven't had time to train these teachers on how to actually stand up and teach. So you got people coming in that their previous career, they might have been in banking or they might have been in whatever, that don't know every single day your kids should be reading, writing, and discussing if you teach an ELA class. Mm, and that every day you should be, even if you only teach them like grammar or something small, right? So every day your kids read, write, and discuss. Some people, they don't even know. They don't know that you're supposed to I do, we do, you do. A simple thing like that. But it's teachers that they don't know that. They don't know that I show you what the skill is, right?
Yeah.
And that's when in college and high school, that was us taking notes. Then we do it together. I model how to do it. We're answering back and forth. And then you do it to show me that you know how to do the skill. It's teachers that have no idea they're supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
So I do, you do, we do.
Mm-hmm.
I like scaffolding.
On the other side, though, and something else, the second thing that I talk to my kids about is that a lot of students, if they get an assignment and they don't blatantly see how this is going to help them, they just assume it's busy work. And that doesn't mean there's not a purpose.
Right,
that doesn't mean there's not a practice.
Right.
They just genuinely, and this is again what my kids told me, if they don't understand the purpose hands-on, or if you don't tell them, they assume it's busy work. They don't care. They don't want to do it.
Right, and that's why you got to give clear instructions as a teacher.
Like, okay,
you still don't have a kid that's like, what are we doing?
I was just talking about this with my fifth graders, because at the end of fifth grade, they have to learn how to do on-demand writing, which is they get a prompt, you have so much time, you write me an essay.
Yep.
And that's a lot for a 10-year-old or 11-year-old for you to give them a question and have to write a 5-paragraph essay in an hour.
Right.
And So, I mean, I don't sugarcoat it with them. I'm right. like, guys, this is really hard. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but we're going to start practicing it in January. So by the test in April, you know how to do it. Right. But, like, you're going to have to put in the hard work. And I told them every Friday, you're writing me an essay.
Right.
It's not because I don't want to teach you for an hour. It's right. because it's I want you to have time to practice, right. it.
See, even
and to reflect on how you've right, been doing right, right. and improving and things like that. But if you don't communicate those things to right. students, why should they care?
Right.
But even a step further of, like, why are we completing this? You know, one assignment that my kids hate doing are DBQs, you know, social studies.
It's a DBQ.
So yeah, document-based questions. Oh, what you do okay. is I ask them a question, and I give them a bunch of documents that relate to the time
period. So it's like a text-dependent question.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. They basically are like, using
the documents. Put that in language arts language, please.
Yes. Okay. So, and it's, they have to write an entire essay using the documents, and I'm trying to think of an example, and I, like, can't right now because I'm, like, on the spot.
Now you're unlocking a memory of taking ACP history.
Poor memory. Yeah. But
14 years ago in high school, of a DBQ, no. And I'm like, it's like, I just had a monsters. That's so Raven moment.
His heart just started beating really fast.
We just dated ourselves on my that's so right.
I used to actually give them the why of, like, hey, you're going to have to write these kinds of essays either for college essays or in your college classes. But, you know, I know a lot of kids aren't going to go to college. So I just kind of used the basis of, look, sometime in your life, you're going to have to make a statement and back it up with facts. Right, if you just say, true. Oh, blah, 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 the sky is green.
I love when she says blah, blah, blah.
That goes in my blah, book, blah, okay? Blah, blah. If you just make the statement, the sky is green, you're just talking out of your butt. Like, why is anyone, no one's going to believe, like, why would anyone believe you?
Right.
You need to back it up with facts. You need to have an article or a something that you read or something that someone said that tells people why they should listen. Right. Why
do we call that a real world connection?
Yes, it is a real world connection. Thank you.
But here, okay, so if you're a kid listening to this podcast, or if you're a teacher and you can relay this message to your kids, if you're a kid listening to this, if you don't hear nothing else we say this whole podcast, it does not take smarts to at least try.
No.
You do not have to be smart. You don't have to be the smartest person in the classroom. I'm telling you again, no teacher will fail a student who will at least try.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No teacher. I ain't failing the kid. I don't care if he can't spell C spot or run. If he try to spell C spot run, he gonna pass. So some of y'all won't even try. Like, what?
He hit the microphone.
What?
During the good speech.
The big speech. And I was like, I was there for C-Spot Run. I was like, yes, keep going. And then I smacked.
You know what? Sorry. You can't walk and chew gum at the same
time. I can't.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, but I'm really interested to hear more of these students.
Here's another one. I'm going to read a couple in a row and then we can talk about it. This student said, honestly, for me at least, I'm tired of it. School stresses me out and the pressure from parents and social media and other aspects makes it worse. This student said, to be completely honest, as a 16-year-old senior, the reason I'm so apathetic is because I'm burned out after years of honors courses. 16-year-old senior?
Back to what the last one just said of social media.
I think he said social. It was supposed to be from parents and social and other aspects, but he could be talking about social media.
Because I want to hear more. Mm-hmm. If we say nothing else about that one comment, I want, if any student, if any person is listening to me at all in the slightest bit, social media is not real.
Right.
Like, people always put the best photos edited to the best lighting and the best whatever. No one's going to put, most people are not going to put sad things, what's going wrong in their life on social media. Yeah. It's only
I try to make it a point to do that, and not in a way of like, I don't want to overshare ever.
Right.
But I think that it's important to that art, especially because, I mean, it's, I don't have students that follow me because they barely know how to use a thumb. So they definitely don't know
how does this work?
Yeah. So, but I don't have their parents do. And I think it humanizes just the one teachers. Thumb. But I think it is something for the kids to see their teachers be vulnerable.
Agreed.
And because we've put ourselves in this position of being, you know, on social media and being, you know, out there.
Right.
I think it's important to not just post the jokes, but for kids to also say, like, oh, it's not always this, and this for my teacher, or my teacher is human. And that gives the child permission then
right,
to come to school and give us that as well.
Going back to what you said about social media being fake, somebody gonna get mad. But some of y'all need to stop airbrushing y'all's pictures, because your original, whatever little app y'all got that's touching up y'all's picture, turn
listen,
your face
just oh, no, at no. me
completely
next time,
different
okay?
person.
No,
your
I'm kidding.
Don't do that. But some of these people out here editing their pictures to look airbrushed like a bug.
I don't airbrush myself, but beauty mode is on TikTok.
What really irritates me is the people who preach on social media. Love yourself. You're beautiful. Nothing's wrong with you. But then go in and like shrink their waist in all their photos.
My thing is like, if you get kidnapped, the picture we got the police, you look like potato. The picture on your social media, you look like Halle Berry. So are you Halle Potato or are you Halle Berry? Which one? I'm just looking out for you. I watch a lot of Dateline. Listen, and some of y'all gonna get kidnapped.
There's students out there who are like, I can't be at school right now. I have to stay home and edit my photos.
I'm just gonna let you know, if I ever get kidnapped, give them the potato picture.
Because that's how I look when I'm kidnapped.
I like you as a potato.
I don't think I've ever been like, nope, this isn't edited. I'm always like, I edited this photo, and this is how you can too. Because I don't want people to ever think that, even remotely,
I just
that
don't
like
want the pressure to have to look like that.
Yeah,
all the time.
I don't edit my photo. One, I don't post photos of myself very much because I don't. Neither I just don't tell. Take pictures.
I've never posted a photo of myself.
Never, no, ever. He's so modest.
Listen, I was laughing.
No,
I
always
Fabio
say, take the picture, save it, filter, and save it again. Like no, I'm all like. I don't think I've ever edited to not look like me, but I love like the little filter moment.
Well,
I kind of like having like oily skin
and like
them seeing
you know,
that I have
making
acne.
Your
but people change like
no.
smaller
whole
or like
yeah,
like
oh, I, you know when this when different. This when this podcast comes out, I'm posting a photo that day. It's gonna look nothing like me. It's gonna look nothing. They'll be like, okay.
Is no, that but purpose? I do that too. Like I really try hard to eliminate that boundary of like I'm their teacher. I can't be a real human. Mm-hmm. Like. Yeah. I mean, I'm honest with them. And even on my TikToks, like I'll post, I don't post them very often because, I mean, a lot of the time I don't genuinely have terrible days at work now. But I've talked about, you know, in the past how I almost quit teaching altogether because I was not I was not good enough. And I, you know, had rough days during like times when we were hybrid teaching. And I was like, I posted a video of myself sitting in my car crying. Like,
I did that last year.
Kids need to see us be like
that. That day after I got my second shot, and I just was crying at school. Mm-hmm. And I just I don't know what made me think of it, but I just thought, everyone only sees me as like this happy or sassy person. And I literally just filmed a video like, hey guys, I don't really know what to say, but I just wanted you to see this side of me. Yeah, okay,
I think that helps kids to see their teachers that way.
Man, I cried in my car a million times. My kids came to class the next day like, hey, shut up and sit down somewhere because y'all made Miss Richardson cry yesterday. I'm like, how you know I was crying yesterday? I seen your video in your car, best friend. Sit down somewhere. All right, so here's a couple more. This student said, I think it's because at this point we're also drained and tired and experience so much hurt and stress that we just give up before we're given up on.
Oh.
That breaks really my heart.
What scares me about children and thinking that too, right? So they want to stop or whatever before they're given up on. And I know we don't like to get political, but then we have bills like that are happening in Indiana where it's explicit that now teachers, if this bill were to pass, cannot talk to their students about any kind of social and emotional thing they're going through unless they have explicit writing and permission from the parents.
And a lot of the times the issues are
from
the parents.
And it's not that we're bad talking parents. And in fact, a lot of the times we can say, look at it from your mom or dad or your adult perspective at home. But it's now that the child feels like that they're being given up on. And I can't imagine a kid coming up to me. I taught in Indiana for 6 years. I mean, it's not like, and I can't imagine a kid coming up to me being like, mommy and daddy got in a fight. Like,
can't talk to you.
Sorry, honey. I know you're 5 years old, but I can't talk to you about this because a bill says I can't. Let me go work on my.
School is a safe place for them.
It's supposed to be.
I can't imagine something like that. Because, I mean, I grew up in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine a bill like that being passed in Tennessee because my teachers were a safe place for me. Like, they were the people that I talked to about that kind of stuff. They teachers, like, we're, you know, I know we say we wear a lot of different hats, but, like, my teachers, like, for real, were, like, a safe place for me.
I had a girl when I was teaching sophomores, and I loved this girl to death. She was so funny. We joked around in class all the time. She participated every day, and one day she just looked like a zombie in class.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was like, her mom's liver was failing, and her stepdad was threatening her safety. and her, like, it was a whole thing. And I cannot imagine me not being able to be there for her. Like, I stayed up every single night worrying, is she safe tonight? Is she at her dad's house? Right. Or is she at her stepdad's house? Is she coming to school today? Because, like, they would keep her home to, like, watch the mom.
Yeah.
And I just, I cannot imagine not being able to check in with her because a bill says I can't.
I don't think these lawmakers know how much of teaching is really parenting.
They have no idea.
And how much of it is, you know,
they have no idea.
You know what? You can't teach them how to read or write if they are not in the right headspace.
And I think they, I actually think a lot of these, I don't think, one, they realize that you're not punishing the, you are punishing the teachers, but you're punishing the students.
Yes.
I do think a lot of these people do understand that it is parenting, and I think that makes them self-conscious, that to know that it's not them.
Right.
But I can't imagine, I mean, I can, because it was like this for me, but if I have a student that's going through something specific in my classroom, I have students, you know, whose parents were divorcing, or they're moving, or someone passed away, I can't imagine not having the autonomy to go to my bookshelf and pull out a book about a grandparent dying or moving or divorcing the family and reading that to the class. And bills like that are happening, not just in Indiana, but in other states where you have to have your lesson plans done for the entire year. I've written lesson plans on a McDonald's wrapper because I had to go do it on the fly. And you're telling me you want that a year in advance? I don't know what social emotional stuff my students are going through.
Not
and
only,
so
and
much.
That's not best practice either, because you're supposed to, as an educator, you are taught to adapt to your students, adapt to their skill set and to their social emotional needs and their developmental abilities. If you're trying to plan for like a college course that has a syllabus a year in advance or whatever, that you could look at every assignment you're going to be given, then there's no differentiation happening. There's
It's not even just the lesson plan, right? It's the fact that that child comes in that day and the parent, like, you know, I've had students who were transitioning, and their parents weren't accepting of the student's transition. I can't even read a book to that student about it, because the parents can sit there and say, look at your lesson plan and say, I don't like that you're talking about this, 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 or teaching that kind of math, so you can't do that. And if the child were to come in, I can't do it, and I could lose my teaching license.
Right.
Indiana, babe, you're in the position to lose more teachers than what you got.
And they do not even care. And then I saw a meme the other day on Facebook, and I don't really get on Facebook that much because y'all grandparents be on there starting stuff. But
they're all from Indiana.
They always start stuff.
Indiana is single-handedly supporting, what is it, Meta?
The Metaverse.
Indianaverse. You know, people always talking about these teachers are indoctrinating my kids.
And oh, my God. Like, I hate that word.
But somebody was like, look, if teachers could indoctrinate your kids, I would have already indoctrinated them not to eat Takis at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Put on some
and I'm sorry, but like
I would have indoctrinated them on a lot of different things.
Do people not know what that word means? Because you telling us what we can and can't read to our students.
I think they throw that word around as a power trip. And it's like, okay, like I was talking, like I was telling you guys in the car last night, like my nail lady and I have opposing views, and we have good discussions about them, and we have a mutual respect that we agree to disagree about a lot of things. And she was asking me the one day, well, because I was saying that I read the book Pride, and it's about Harvey Milk.
Super cute book.
Love that book. And she was saying, well, don't you think that's inappropriate for you to bring up with your students? And I said, no, why do you think that? And she said, well, because I think that's something that the parents should be in charge of talking about. I said, I agree, but they don't.
Exactly.
And I said, how would you feel if you came into a classroom and the teacher only read books about, I don't know, about you're the only girl in the class and the teacher only read books about boys or whatever? How would you feel if you had no representation in any literature that your teacher brought to your face? You would feel like the odd one out. You would feel left out. You'd feel weird and unaccepted.
Just because you're reading about it, right? Just because you're not reading about it doesn't mean they don't exist. So like, just because you're not reading Pride doesn't mean you don't have queer children in your classroom.
Yes.
It doesn't take that away. So all it does is it further marginalizes your
and it doesn't matter how young
and your queer children by not reading about it. Then they just sit there in the room, and then we have things like this where the child, why do I want to go to school to a place that it's not, that doesn't feel safe to me, that I'm not appreciated, that my teacher can't reach out and like, isn't that what we've been doing for years?
And even more so, like, these are really like personal questions that a lot of kids are scared to ask their parents about. But even more so, a lot of them don't want to ask their parents about everyday things. Like, I can't tell you how many times I scrapped my lesson because something happened either in our country or around the world or something. Mm-hmm. And the kids were, they just wanted to understand. And so we literally would scrap the lesson and just look at every different viewpoint of what was happening, so that we could come up with what the kids thought on their own, and they didn't have to share what their underlying opinion was. And we looked at every different viewpoint so that they could come to their own conclusion of what they agreed with.
My thing is, why the hell are y'all so scared of other people's viewpoint? Like, why
are you afraid of having open-minded children?
Right. Like, I just don't understand that. But let me read a couple more, because they really are great. I'm going to read like three or four of them, and then we can discuss them, because I want to get as many of these read so our listeners can hear them, and the kiddos that sent these in can hear that
we
hear their voice and we care. This student said, I'm a 13-year-old, and I've had so many toxic teachers who have done terrible things to me and told me such bad things, and I still have bad teachers now. This kid said, personally, I'm just burnt out at the moment from the pandemic and the mental stress that school puts on me. And then this kid said, because school is boring and forcing us to learn isn't fun, and humans always want to learn. But if it's not fun, then why want to learn? That's amazing. Then this kid said, to be honest, for me, I do care, but sometimes there are things that can throw off my whole mood and I just want to be left alone. And I'm like, I understand that as an adult. Like, I mean, I know that's not realistic in everyday life, but I understand what they're saying.
How many times, and I honestly truly mean this, how many times have you been put in a situation, okay, let's say outside of the classroom, let's say not in the classroom because we have legal obligations to stay in the classroom, but how many times have you been put in a situation where you couldn't give yourself 5 minutes away from everyone else as an adult?
A lot of times.
Like, I feel
and it makes you feel worse. And were we not just talking about self-care and talking about if you need to take the day, you take the day? And, like, why is that okay for us but not for kids?
Like, and that's why I'm, like, such an ad. And I know that I'm going to piss someone off, that we should have these, like, safe spots in either schools or in every classroom where a child just needs to sit. We have to have it at the pre-K level that I can make. I'm not feeling rough. I need to just go sit by myself for a second. And the decrease in behaviors and just for a kid to be able to sit there and like mindlessly do something and be like, oh, I'm okay now.
We had that at my other school. That's the one good thing I will say. It was mandatory. And at first I was like, what is this about? But then once I implemented it, I really liked it. It's called the Peace Corner. And it was just a spot in the room that had like a comfy little chair or a carpet square or whatever, and some stuffed animals. I had a windmill in there, so in case they were angry, they could just blow on it. I had some mandala coloring books and stuff. I had like a little bubble timer, like all these things to just make it like real chill. And a lot of the time, like you'd have to train them to go there. But then after they got the hang of it and they would just get up and go, so many behaviors that would be taken care of. But, like, you need a minute sometimes. You do.
You know, thinking back to one of the first things that you just said in that list that you mentioned is there's not many things that pisses me off more than teachers that don't need to be in the classroom.
Girl.
I'll never forget.
So many of them.
It still enrages me to this day. And I literally am trying so hard to, like, not tear up about it because I still get so pissed. I'll never forget the one time I taught seniors. I'll never teach seniors again. I'm sorry. Y'all stress me out. But the one time I taught seniors, I just remember this kid was working really hard to be accepted into college. And he was working so hard, and I was so proud of him. And he just came in looking devastated one day. And I asked him, what's going on? I pulled him after class. I didn't want to, like, draw attention to him. And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to apply to that school anymore, Miss Rogers. And I'm like, why? And he's, my math teacher said that I'm not going to amount to anything. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because I'm a black kid and it's not going
to
matter anyways.
I'm ready to fight, then.
And
I'm ready to scrap.
Like, I'm sweating right now because it just makes me so, I'll this never forget the anger that filled my body. And I went to her and I was like, what is your problem?
Okay.
What is wrong with you? And she's like, I was genuinely trying to look out for him. I said, that's not looking out.
No.
Because he's what?
Because he's black.
Destroying that he was so not delusional.
Destroying his confidence and being a racist is not looking out for him.
And she's like, she's like, I wasn't being racist. I was genuinely trying to make sure he had realistic expectations. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Wow. I don't get it.
Right.
She thought that a realistic expectation was that he couldn't go to college because he was black.
That he shouldn't try to succeed like in a high, like he wanted to go to college and get a good job. And I was so mad.
I don't even know if the mad would be the word. I would be terrified. Art producer, I think his eyes just got, you can bleep that out. I would be angry that this woman is teaching children and has that perspective on
her black
students.
The worst part is, though, she genuinely didn't think there was anything wrong with that.
That's what scares me.
She thought it was helping?
I wouldn't be sad. I'd be terrified that this woman's teaching.
I'm still sweating.
The amount of ignorant ass people that work in
education. This episode has got us fired, guys.
The amount of ignorant people that work with children of color and are so culturally ignorant and culturally insensitive is beyond me. It is absolutely astounding.
And these babies need people who are going to champion around them. And for all kids do. Not, it doesn't matter if they're children of color or not. But there's been so many studies on the school to pipeline. Our school to prison pipeline. And it's just like when we tell specific, there was this really interesting thing that they did, and they took teachers and they had them watch this video, and they said, one of these kids is going to act up. Which one is it? And they could track the teacher's eye movement. They all went to the little black boy. It was always the little white girl. And it was the example of it didn't matter what. And it was just like, we need to know this bias, right? So like, we need to know this bias about ourselves. And it was literally almost every single teacher. And it made me go to school the next day and think, am I being too hard? Because I want to make sure that I don't want them to go to the next screen for that teacher to be looking at them. So I know. And I was like, if you don't go in with a caring heart and the ability to tell these kids they literally can do anything. Right. And there is no restrictions of what they can and can't do. And you have teachers that are telling them not to apply to college their senior year of school. Right.
Somebody told me this when I first started teaching. I couldn't believe this. Don't they determine like the number of prisons or something they're going to build by their third grade test scores or something
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's test scores and how often. So now a lot of schools, which I had a hard time with that we talked about last night, aren't suspending or expelling kids. The minute you suspend a child, a first, second grade child, you're immediately telling them you are so bad, nobody wants you here. And I can't imagine what that does. And I don't know the solution because I'm not an administrator. Right. We're teachers. That's
amazing
job.
That you would say that you don't know
Because I don't know. I also know that sometimes I need a break. I can love the kid. I don't think I've ever come across it I didn't love. We talked about the really bad ones that sometimes physically harm you and you're still like, I love you, and it really sucks that you have to leave my class.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the solution is, but I know that the solution I found out that it's either that kid stays in my classroom and I figure it out, or they can develop a complex in a few years that they're a bad kid, and then this pipeline continues further. They can come back to my class. I don't know how I'm going to fix it. Or maybe you go into the office with a couple other kids and you guys do your work there for a day or so, but they get to stay in school, because I don't know what the solution is, but I know the solution isn't to further expel a first grader and give them that thought. Because a first grader, I can promise you, isn't doing it at their
own. And honestly, that's something I really had to learn. Because when I started teaching, I taught at an inner city school that had a lot of behavior issues, a lot of students with trauma. And I came from a large public school, but like nothing like that. Like we didn't see any like behaviors like I had seen when I started teaching. So it was a huge culture shock to me. And, you know, I was, you know, beat and hit and punched and kicked and like and desk
it's hard,
thrown.
It's hard to have the
it's
empathy.
Hard when you're getting punched to say that kid doesn't need to be suspended. Like, don't suspend him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like when I was, you know, first year teacher getting punched, I'm like, what are you going to do about it? Like, you know, do something. And
ever talk to you about the school to prison pipeline? Did they ever talk to you about
that? No, I never knew about that. But in my mind, I was thinking, I'm like, why? I'm like, why is it okay that this kid is punching me right. and they're allowing him to stay in school? And I didn't understand it until I learned right. more about right. it and became more educated on the subject matter.
I'm like, not against kids being suspended.
No, for
some
sure.
Some of these kids need to go home.
But we also have to look at the ages, though, because you're teaching
right.
sixth
grade. I was teaching
eighth
second grade.
Some of them need to go home.
Right.
So I was teaching second grade. Why, that was
when
different.
We're teaching, okay. When we're yeah. teaching, by not to say, I think middle school kids, when they're acting like something's going on, you know what I mean? Especially mm-hmm. if this person doesn't just randomly develop this behavior.
Right.
But when we're looking at kindergarten, especially kindergarten through third grade, these kids are not acting out because they're quote unquote bad. They're acting up because something is going on mm-hmm. either at home or mentally. Something is going on, and just to keep pushing them aside and just expelling and suspending instead of being like, what's going on at home, which is something we're not going to be able to do. Right. If these policies keep passing, we're going to have
there's going to be an influx of behavior with that. And then there's also, and I hate to say it and go this morbid with it, but there's going to be an influx of suicides.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Self-harm. Mm-hmm. All of those things, because there are going to be tons of children that don't have anywhere to talk about yeah. the people in their lives that are not doing them right.
Right. And you know, I think sometimes schools suspend kids because y'all know we have a hard time getting a hold of these parents sometimes.
Yeah. yeah.
And we have consistent behaviors with your kids. It's a both and. Like, we got to work together. So, you know, I can't get you on the phone. You won't come to meetings or whatever. My option now is to suspend your child, because now it affects you and affects your pocketbook, because you got to
right.
find child
right.
care for your child right. because we've been trying to communicate with you that we having these problems at school.
Unfortunately,
now you suspend it.
And know, then the parent's going to call.
Now you're going
to
call.
Gonna call yeah. and that sucks.
Now you're going to answer the phone instead of giving me the number to Chick-fil-A. Yep. And I tried to call your house, but I ended up spending $15 because I called Chick-fil-A because yeah. I thought it was your number.
Yeah. You know, I teach the older kids, and I was teaching a freshman world history class, and I had two kids that tried to fight every single day. Every day. And I kept trying to talk to them, It was my second year teaching. Mm-hmm. And eventually, like, I don't remember. It might have been like maybe the second or third time. And I had them in the hallway at separate times. And I just looked at both of them separate times. And I said, you are so much better than this. Like, what are you doing? You could do so many more beneficial things. And that day, one of the kids came to my room during lunch, during mm-hmm. like our office hours kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, well, I wanted to know if I can study in here. And I was like, really? Like third month of school, like what's the occasion? Like I'm interested. Yeah. I'm glad you're here, but mm-hmm. why? He's like, well, none of my teachers ever told me they thought I could do more before, and you were the first one. I'm like, that's just her crying. He's like, no one ever told me that they thought yeah. I could do more, and you were the first one that did. And he came every single day to our office hours, and he went from a 46 to an 87.
That's amazing.
And I remember the first time I called, like, I wanted to call his dad and tell him. Yeah. And the first thing that his dad said on the phone was like, what'd he do?
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
He
and
did good, yeah.
I don't think teachers realize that if you just, so, I mean, it is impossible to reach every child. That's and that yeah. breaks my heart to say, yeah, but it is. But so many of these kids, if you just tell them that you believe in them instead of just suspending them to get them out of your face, like, just talk to them, and that mm-hmm. can
teachers don't understand the
of
power
lives.
Of their words.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah. there are times that I've
some
looked at
teachers,
students
I should
who
say.
Are, especially, I mean, my kids came from the Head Start program, if you know anything about it. These kids come from mm-hmm. trauma. The
yeah.
most,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the only the most severe cases can be accepted in school. It's a point system. Mm-hmm. So if you had a parent die, if you had a parent incarcerated, if you have a sibling that has cognitive delays, or you get points, and whoever has the highest points get, because you're getting the most traumatized of children. Mm. Wow. And I won't forget, we did a PD, one of the only PDs actually, and they said, if you, at the most angry, or when a child is upset and you needs it the most, and you tell them that, like, you understand them, that you love them, whatever that child needs at the time, they'll know that even if you're mad and disciplining them, that you're not, that you don't hate them. And that was just a game changer in my classroom. Mm. That even when I was really upset with them, we didn't do timeouts, but I'm like, I understand what you're going through. I would be really mad if I were you too. That sounds really frustrating. I love you, but I need you to go sit down. Right. The behavior still happened,
right.
but it came from a place of love right. and not a place of, like,
right.
anger and, yeah. and, right. and, you know, being like irate. And that yeah. was a huge, huge game changer for yeah. the kids.
Well, our producer's flashing us.
He said,
he's like, it's
wrap it up. Y'all are talking too
much. They're going to come out with, they're going to come out with the cane like at Showtime at the Apollo where they yank y'all on stage. But so we want to end this by saying we know that we have said some things that everybody might not, you know what I'm saying, agree with. Mm-hmm. If y'all going to argue in the comments, do
that's fine. Out. Engagement
but,
levels.
But, you know, we all come from different perspectives, different. We all teach different age groups. So understand that we all speaking from our different perspectives, right? So, but I think this conversation is beneficial to have with your students and directly just have some real talk with them. And like Becca said, we're not going to be able to reach every student. It's just impossible. We only one person. It's impossible to do that. But there is a conversation that needs to be had, and you being able to just talk to your students like they're a real people. And so do y'all have anything else y'all want to say? No.
We love well, if you. You're, yeah, I was going to say, if you're a student out there listening, just know that even if you've had some toxic teachers, that don't give up hope even mm-hmm. on just that one good teacher.
Yeah.
And if not, you have four teachers here that love you.
We love you.
And we believe in you, and we know you can do great things.
You can do great Sorry. Things. But let's go we with a big star crying. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Bye, guys.
Bye.